Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Stuart Alsop, Head of Sales at IntelliFlow Australia. Stuart, thanks so much for being part of this series and jumping on the call.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. Excited to be here on the pod, which I think is what the cool kids say these days, isn't it?
That's the pod, yeah. Well, I haven't really heard that a little bit, but the podcasts are pretty trendy every now and then, different niches and different series. But today we're talking all things FinTech and about IntelliFlow. Do you want to give the listeners out there a little bit of an understanding of the business and firstly how you fit in and what your role is?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. So my role is Head of Sales for IntelliFlow at Australia. So been with the business for, one year this week.
Very good.
IntelliFlow in Australia. So it's quite good timing. IntelliFlow itself is a financial advice technology player, a global financial advice technology player. We are a kind of full back office solution for financial advisors to service their clients. And really that SaaS solution, so software as a service solution for the financial advice industry. So we've been kind of in the UK market leader over there for the past 19 years and launched in Australia earlier this year.
Excellent. And the reason for launching in Australia, I suppose, and also what, you know, the particular customers in terms of the, you know, the ones that use you, is it sort of small fintechs or is it more enterprise B2B?
Yeah, so I think to answer the first question first, I mean, Australia as a market is quite similar to the UK at a service level, and they have the same challenges that actually the UK market does in terms of kind of advice gaps in Australia, both in the UK and over here. And really one of IntelliFlow's main objectives as a business is to widen access to financial advice. And we think we can do that through our technology. So the same challenges exist in Australia. And we think we're pretty well placed to be able to help with some of that. And in terms of our customers, you know, they range to, you know, large kind of publicly listed businesses all the way to kind of some of your small niche entrepreneurial type businesses.
Excellent. And how have you gone in that last year, I suppose, in terms of brand awareness, getting your name out there and the feedback that you get from some customers when they're dealing with you, particularly as you say, you're a bit of a European giant, but not so much here just yet.
Yeah. So I think over the last year or so, and probably about a year and a half, we've intentionally flown under the radar. So we've kind of soft launched, if you will, which is quite typical for tech businesses coming into the market, really understanding the industry and the feature set needed to service financial advisors in Australia. And, over the past 6 months or so, we've really kind of gone full scale launch into the advice market. And I think it's been well received. You know, typically in the industry, they've been starved of innovation when it comes to tech providers. And we're starting to see more tech solutions helping to support financial advisors over the last 6 months to a year. So that's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for the industry. And we're proud to now offer our services out in Australia.
And Stuart, in regards to the sort of the financial advice market per se, there's been a lot of chat about the expense of it all, and particularly from, you know, the requirement and need for it now. Are you seeing, you know, 2 years ago we're sitting here in lockdowns, or even 3 years ago when sort of the focus on one's balance sheet became more paramount, and now we've had some, you know, subsequent 11 or 12 or 10 interest rate rises in a row, so the cost of living is at the forefront. But when it comes to financial advice, what are you seeing in terms of market trends and market dynamics?
Yeah, Chris, I think the key thing that we're seeing is that adoption of digital solutions to help with engagement. You know, you talk about obviously the pandemic and interest rate rises. Really, if we focus on the pandemic and the impact that had with financial advice and giving financial advice to clients, you really had to be online, regardless of whether you wanted to be or not, to help run a business, but to get access to services like financial advice. So really that just sped up the the adoption of digital solutions, digital tools. And actually, we see some advisors now that have not gone back to the office and run their entire business digitally and remotely.
Yeah, wow. That's an interesting trend.
And it's something that we think will continue. And really, when we start to see clients who, what they expect from services like a financial advisor, they expect that digital engagement. So, you know, being able to log in to a client portal, for example, where they can see their net worth position, they can see what their goals are, they can see all of their documents that they've signed electronically.
Yep.
So it's these type of services that we've really been focusing on over the past couple of years to enhance that digital engagement piece. And as a trend, like I said, we think is set to continue. You know, let's talk about your other point around interest rate rises. Really having solutions that can show the impact of those interest rate rises over time and what that might mean to your mortgage repayments, what it might mean to your expenses and where you might need to tighten the belt, so to speak. Having those solutions and tools that you can run online and enhance that digital engagement, we think is paramount to effectively what a financial advisor would need these days to run their business. One of the quotes that we really like is from an old product manager. I think it was from Morningstar, who said that that technology won't replace financial advisors, but financial advisors that use technology will replace those that don't.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And the tools that mentioned, and then sort of a segue into the next question, you mentioned the two words there, digital engagement. It would be reminiscent of me, I suppose, to not talk about AI and the future of what that may look like. This is very, very early, by the way, and we're in this podcast in May of 2023, and we'll look back and see what the actual ramifications are in a few years' time. But your initial thoughts, I suppose, of the combination of AI and financial advice, is there anything that you're sort of seeing around and what you might be looking at?
Yeah, the world of AI, Chris, is you can't do two scrolls of your mouse on LinkedIn before you see another post on AI and how it might be able to help, not just financial advisors, but anyone really in business and in their personal life. Look, I think we're really excited about what AI can bring to the financial advice industry and the technology industry that supports financial advisors. I think it is quite early in terms of understanding where that might head, but there are clearly some very exciting observations and I think opportunities that financial advisors can use today when it comes to technology. So a good example is, you know, scribing tools that have been around for a little bit now, but are getting more advanced with AI around, you know, we're sat here on a podcast or effectively a video call, and you can have tools that scribe out your meetings and then produce action points off the back of it. We've got something that similar to that tracks kind of messages and saves it back to a CRM.
It's more efficient tools, the sort of like the working smarter, not harder type tools, where you can jam a lot more into a day than maybe a year ago, for instance.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's heaps of apps now coming to the market that is probably either off the back of something like ChatGPT or it's using something else to help provide digital kind of tools for people. Financial advice does have inefficiencies in the process. And I think over time, AI will help with some of those processes.
Yep.
But as you say, it's very early on. So, I dare say that even in a year's time, it will be very different to what our experience is now.
Yeah, and let's stay on that topic in a year's time. And if we do come back and do this podcast again, where would you like to see the IntelliFlow business? And what are you sort of working on now in regards to maybe some products or at least kind of the goal in the next 12 months?
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, to kind of think where the future might look like. I mean, for our business at IntelliFlow, it's really continuing to support more financial advisors through our technology.
Yep.
And that's a couple of things, really. That is helping them create efficiencies that we just talked about. It is about helping them provide more digital engagement solutions to their clients. And actually, to be able to service more clients. What we've seen in our UK business actually is we build up a score, a metric called the e-advisor index. And what we see is that when we track usage across the system, we find that financial advisors that use technology in their business more are more profitable, are able to see more clients and get more advice out the door. So we're a big believer of that, and we want to continue growing in Australia. I think the other thing that we want to do, Chris, is continuing to start being a connector ourselves. So we have this concept of the Intelflow store. So it's very similar, like an app store on your phone, but really for financial advice technology. And so creating more choice for financial advisors to use the technology that they want to use, rather than being taken down a particular path when it comes to tech.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And, a big 12 months ahead in terms of just really kind of, nurturing that customer journey and enhancing the tools and the digital engagement, as you mentioned before, of the existing customers and becoming more prominent, I suppose, in the field that you play in. While we can talk about financial advice all day and digital engagement tools, etc., there must be a point in your current role where you may not think about that, and you do, do switch off for a little bit. Getting to know you a little bit, what's some sort of secret hobby that maybe some people don't know about?
Well, it's probably not so secret, only because I'm a CrossFitter. So I do CrossFit in my spare time when I'm not talking about technology or financial advice. And typically what they say about CrossFitters is that the first thing they do is talk about CrossFit.
Right.
So,
okay.
So the fact Chris, that I've got this far into the podcast and not talked about CrossFit is
mate, you've done well. It's been about 12 minutes, so well done.
There you go. It's a bit of a win for me. So no, I mean, exercise in general helps me to stay sane, I think, across my life, both physical and it used to be mainly for physical benefits, but as I'm getting older, it's definitely the mental side that helps me switch off. Everyone's aware of those benefits these days.
What goes through a typical CrossFit session?
So CrossFit is probably a melting pot of Olympic weightlifting, gymnastics, and cardio.
Right.
So, you typically have just a strength session, like there'll be, squats or pressing, and then there'll be what's called a Metcon, so a metabolic conditioning workout, where, again, a mixture of those three movements or I guess disciplines combined into one workout. So a lot of fun, really good for the community side, actually, really good for the community side. And there's a fair few gyms in Sydney that I go to in particular. So, if anyone who's kind of thinking of giving it a try, I'd certainly recommend it.
Yeah, right. And in terms of the data behind it, are you a bit of a data nerd in terms of tracking the progress, etc.?
Well, as a former head of data, I had to say data because I'm from the UK.
Yes.
So yep. The pronunciation is slightly different. But
and the vitamins. Yep.
In terms of because I was head of data, I have to have a big look at the various workout scores, and I'm quite competitive as well. So there's a lot of data you can generate off the back of all your workouts and various PRs and so forth. So
very good, mate.
There's a lot going for there.
So thanks for your time today, Stuart, talking about the Intelliflow business and how that's progressing here in Australia in the last 12 months that you've been here, and also the future 12 months, and particularly the topical area of financial advice and how you're providing tools and methodologies to make things more efficient for particular groups, etc. And also sharing about your CrossFit data, which I'm sure will some of the audience may also join in and say, well, I do this too, and you could connect. So I really appreciate your time. I look forward to catching up in real life at some point in time, and wish you all the best for the next 12 months.
Thanks, Chris. It's been great to be on the podcast.